So we're still preaching through Matthew. We will be for a long time. I fear that you need somebody who's going to actually grab some slightly larger chunks of scripture to preach on. And when I say someone, I mean me. I need to think about this a little more often, because as we're choosing the scripture, because I have a feeling I may go over some things that we've already heard. And anyway, today we're in Matthew 10, verses 26 to 33. And Jesus is still speaking to the disciples. He's giving them lots of instructions about what they're doing and where they're going and what their future is going to be, what their job is. So Matthew 10, 26 to 33. So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So, this passage opens with, so have no fear. And fear and worry, anxiety, those are all things that have really become so common in our society, in our communities these days. Anxiety particularly seems to be the buzzword, and it's on the rise. I have kids at school who come to school suffering from anxiety, and I know they're probably parent words, but it seems tragic that anxiety, which we would have called worry or fear, I suppose, before, is just so prevalent. Fear, worry, anxiety, it's debilitating. It has the ability to stop us from whatever we're doing. It leaves us riddled with indecision, paralysed almost. It removes choices from our lives. It removes blessing from our lives. It could weaken our faith, fill us with doubt, and even cloud our relationship with God. Some people have claimed that, and I didn't go through and count, but if you go through the entire Bible and count the number of times it says, do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid, do not be concerned or dismayed, you'll find words to that effect 365 times. That's one for every day of the year. And I guess it's a reminder of God's constant care and presence in our lives. In this passage alone, it's mentioned three times. Have no fear, do not fear, fear not. So before we delve into this passage a little bit more deeply, let's just recap. We've been preaching our way through Matthew. We've come to know a lot more about this man, Jesus. And in this passage, he's talking to those he's called to follow him and have had the courage to just lay aside their lives as they knew them and commit to seeing where this new rabbi would take them. Jesus has been teaching, they've heard his words, they've watched the response, and many times I'm sure they said, I'm glad he said that and not me, because they saw how people responded to him. They watched the reactions. A lot of people didn't like him. They were probably thrilled to be called, thrilled to be part of the entourage, thrilled to be his followers, but now the time has come as Jesus has led them, for them not just to follow, but to go. As Jesus sends them out, he offers them instructions and warnings, and we've heard this over the last couple of weeks. Proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers and cast out the demons. Don't charge anyone for what you do for them. Take no financial provision for yourselves. Know that some will welcome you, others will reject you. Know that there'll be some who will seek to devour and destroy you. You'll be arrested, you'll be beaten, your family will turn against you. You will be persecuted. Anything you see them do to me, they will do to you. We've heard all of these things in the last few weeks. And when I heard about Jesus sending the disciples out with nothing, it gave me anxiety. We were planning a trip this year, and the number one rule for our trip was that we would have enough money to go and not think about money while we were on the trip. And we're not going on the trip. It's amazing how other things creep in, how other, you know, big bills happen, and the roof just about caves in your house, and all these things have happened, and we just don't feel financially prepared to do it. Can you imagine just going and not even with a change of clothes or one pair of shoes? Gosh. I can remember years ago we lived across the road from Vida Hardy, and you remember Vida. She was the tiniest little lady with the biggest faith. Back in the day we spent a lot of time with her. She was a painter. She would have all four of our kids on her back veranda giving them painting lessons. It must have been absolute chaos. I loved it because I sent the kids across the road, and poor old Vida, I'm sure it added years to her life. Anyway, she loved it too. But I can remember her telling me one day that she woke up in the morning and she felt God had told her to go to Cunnamulla. There was someone there who needed her help, and she didn't know anything more than that. She got into her little tiny white car. She was probably wearing a hat, I would say, and took off to Cunnamulla, and she was there for a few days. She didn't know what she was going for, but she met someone there who needed her help, and you can bet she shared the gospel the whole way. I wish I remembered more details of that story. That's all I remember, but her faithfulness has stayed with me all these years, and now I think back and think, wow, that's just incredible. Back in the mid-80s, the year I was finishing school, actually, MacGyver hit the TV screens. Remember MacGyver? It was never my favourite show. I was probably more into the girly stuff, but it was always good for a laugh. I've seen Bruce MacGyver a few things over the years. MacGyver always had the basics, a Swiss army knife, some duct tape matches, a bit of chewing gum, probably his special digital watch. But you know what happens, he always manages to get himself out of trouble with those few things. He, I don't know, defused the bomb, rescued the girl. Certainly not a James Bond with all the gadgets. So, like MacGyver, the disciples were sent out with no fanciness, no gadgets, on a daunting mission. So this is the background for today's little passage. The instructions and warnings have been given, and now Jesus is telling them, and remember, it's not just them he's telling, it's us as well, that we shouldn't fear, even though the mission seems impossible. In the beginning of the passage, in verses 26 to 28, Jesus is telling us not to fear men. He talks about the things that are covered, that are hidden. And there were so many mysteries in the early church. The veil in the temple, the restricted areas where only the most holy could go. But God's hidden plan for salvation was coming. He's been hinting at it throughout the Bible. His plan to redeem his people through the sacrificial death of his son on the cross. It was all coming. Even though these things were openly declared, they were still hidden. People could hear them, see them, but they didn't know where they were pointing. Jesus is saying here in verse 26, it will all be revealed. Revealed by whom? The disciples. The things Jesus spoke about in the dark, whispered about in secret, they needed to proclaim from the rooftops. And proclaim is just another word for preach. They didn't really know the full message of this at this time. They didn't know the full story either. But if we remember back to the beginning of Matthew, I think it was the first sermon that Bruce preached. In chapter 3, we were talking about John the Baptist. And he preached, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the mission. Obviously, there was more to the message, but that's the important bit. No bells, whistles, smoke machines. The disciples were just to preach. Plain, open, straightforward preaching. An extraordinary message delivered by very ordinary preachers to repent. After Jesus' death, in Acts 1:3, Jesus presented himself to the disciples and spent 40 days with them, teaching them about the kingdom of God, giving them more information to preach and to proclaim. We also know that Paul, after a revelation on the Damascus Road, spent 3 years receiving the gospel before he returned to Jerusalem and even met any of the other disciples. So he spent 3 years apart from them and learnt from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. So all of these apostles, handpicked by Jesus, taught by Jesus himself, preached his message and then wrote it down so that we can continue and to preach and proclaim that exact message today. Nothing new, nothing added. We preach what Jesus originally whispered to the disciples in the darkness, as it says in verse 27. And although lots of people try to come up with new ways to reach the new generations, we're just called to plain, ordinary preaching. No bells, no whistles, no James Bond, just MacGyver. The extraordinary gospel delivered by ordinary people, and it will take hold. That's why we shouldn't fear man. In verse 28, Jesus puts it this way. He says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The worst Jesus is saying that evil men can do is kill the body. They have no ultimate lasting power over our eternal souls. So Jesus says, if this is true, think of who you should fear. Fear God, who can not only kill the body, but can cast the soul into an eternal torment of hell. The Bible often talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says it's a recognition of who holds the true power. That if God truly has this power, then I need to live like it. I need to listen to him like he has that power. But what's so interesting about this here is that Jesus doesn't go on to say it. He doesn't motivate us primarily with fear. He pivots and begins to speak about the love of God. In verses 29 and 30, there's so much to be told about the great love of God. In verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." The monetary units Jesus is talking about are just minuscule. Sparrows were of incredibly little value, as they would be today. I don't know what they would be worth today. But even so, he knows when they die. He doesn't just know this about the sparrows. He knows this kind of thing about you too. He knows the hairs in your head. They're all numbered. Some numbers are not very high. Just saying. God cares about you whether you have a lot or a little bit of hair on your head. And he knows every one of them, and not a single hair follicle falls to the ground without his knowledge. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is constantly teaching us about the love of our Heavenly Father. When we preach about Jesus, we must then preach a gospel of God's love for people through Jesus Christ. Now, every time Jesus talks about anxiety or reasons to fear, it seems like he understands just how confused we get when we're in the midst of that great fear. And whenever he says, don't be anxious, don't fear, he focuses on the simple images. We heard earlier in Matthew, don't be anxious about what you eat or what you drink or what you'll wear. He pointed us, you'll remember what he pointed us to. He said, consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. And here he says, consider the cost of buying two sparrows. Consider the number of hairs on your head. He cuts through all the noise and just points to the simple image to help us understand. Forget about all those things that you might be afraid of in your life, and you probably are afraid of something sitting here today. I know I fear a lot for my kids and think about where they're at in their lives, and a simple text to say, oh, you know, I'm getting a bit stressed can throw me into a spin. But if I then think about the sparrows, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, Jesus, he cares about the number of hairs on your head. He cares about me. Don't fear men, rather fear God, and by fearing, learn his love so that we do not fear him. And that's where Jesus goes to in this final section, because we learn to fear Christ. Jesus says in verse 32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus declares here that he is the one mediator between God and men, the single gatekeeper, the single personal reference we need. And if we acknowledge him before men, Jesus promises that he will acknowledge us before the Father in heaven. In verse 33, he says this, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. He's saying that we need to fear him, to confess him before men, because he is the one who can get us right with the Father. The word that Jesus uses in his warning in verse 33 is this word, deny. And I know for me personally that always takes me straight back to Peter, who denied Jesus three times. And it's that exact same word in Matthew 26 verses 70 and again in 72. Now the fact that Peter denied Jesus once and was forgiven doesn't soften Jesus' words here. He says what he says, but it much more deepens our understanding of the Lord's grace towards us as well. Maybe you've denied him in significant ways. I know I have. The gospel here is that just as Jesus was gracious to forgive Peter, so he will forgive you. Repent from your sins, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and confess him. He promises to be your personal mediator between God and man. He promised to be your personal reference with the Father. And as Paul writes in Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Who can bring charges against you because Christ Jesus is the one who died? And more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us, advocating for us. Jesus promises this to you if you believe in him in your heart and you'll confess him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is a gift that God gives to you by faith. What an incredible gift. Do not fear. Let's close in prayer.